Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. This is episode 317, and the second in a new series on hearing God. And by the way, before I go further, I have to tell you that my voice is not his usual self. I had an allergic reaction to something I ate, and it's not, my voice hasn't fully recovered yet, so please forgive my hoarseness. Today we're looking at chapter 1 of the book Hearing God, Developing a Conversational Relationship with God by Dallas Willard, and some thoughts of mine around that. Why do we want to listen? Why do we want to hear from God? Surely it's because we want to have more than just, or be someone who has more than just knowledge about God. We want to have a relationship with him. And surely God wants to have a relationship with us. Adam and Eve had an ongoing conversation with God. Enoch talked and walked with God. Moses had many conversations with God. What does this tell us? It doesn't tell us that these kinds of relationships have to be the exact same as ours, but it does tell us that God enjoys communicating with his people. How do you feel about the idea of hearing God? Dallard Willis quotes the comedian Lily Tomlin in the book. Why is it, she asks, that when we speak to God, we're said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we're said to be schizophrenic? Look, I have a comedian's take here, but do we feel comfortable talking about hearing from God? In Isaiah 58, you will call, verse 9, the Lord will answer your cry for help. He will say, here am I. Do away with oppression. Help the hungry. Help those who need it. And he says, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. We are told we can expect guidance, that he will answer when our will and our aims are in line with his. That's at least part of it, isn't it? Because God wants to communicate with us. John 14, 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. We will come to them, make our home with them. Have you ever lived in a home with other people where no one talks to anybody? That's not going to last very long. If you're at home with somebody, of course you talk. God's at home in us. As Willard says, the Spirit who inhabits us is not mute, restricting himself to an occasional nudge, a hot flash, a brilliant image, or a case of goosebumps. Isn't he doing more than that? How can he abide in us and we abide in him unless there is communication? John 15, verse 15, Jesus said, I've called you friends. Friends talk, right? At least real friends do. Hebrews 15, God says, I'll never leave you. The Lord is my helper, we can say. I'll not be afraid. He's with us. Matthew 28, I am with you. Not just your knowledge of me is with you to the very end of the age, but I am with you. Willard says, the biblical record always presents the relationship between God and the believer as more like friendship or a family tie than anything else. So direct communication with God is in Scripture. It's implied, and we have examples. And direct communication with God is evident in Christian history, but it's so often it appears a bit of a taboo topic amongst Christians. So what do we do with this if you're in this situation? Because if we believe in a personal connection with God, we can't safely neglect developing this area of our walk with God. So Willard points to three general problems we need to resolve. And I'll leave these with you to think about and pray about, and let me know what you think. But firstly, God's communications come to us in many forms. In other words, perhaps we think he's going to communicate in a certain way, and he may communicate in a different way. We may be surprised or mystified by ways in which he communicates. Our expectations may not match his communications. Secondly, sometimes we have the wrong motives, don't we? Sometimes We don't want God to speak because we're afraid of being uncomfortable with his message. Or perhaps we want something from God and we're not really open to whatever he has to communicate. And thirdly, we may misconceive the very nature of our Heavenly Father and of his intent for us. We should bear in mind that whilst Jesus is our friend, God is not, he's not our buddy, is he? Willard says, the development of character, rather than direction in this, that, and the other matter, must be the primary purpose of the Father. He will guide us, but he won't override us. That fact should make us use with caution the method of sitting down with a pencil and a blank sheet of paper and write down the instructions dictated by God for the day. That's not how a relationship works. We're looking for a conversational relationship, a mature relationship, one where we know his voice. We know his voice like the sheep know the shepherd's voice, John 10 verse 4. So, let me stop there for today and ask you, how do you feel about this conversational relationship with God? How do you feel about the idea that there's no formula for this? And you and I are going to have to work out, together with God, the way in which he's communicating with us so that we can have this kind of relationship. What does it take? How do we find this kind of relationship? What are some things to avoid and be aware of? And what are some things to embrace and to focus on to help us to enable ourselves to have this kind of relationship with God? Love to know what you think. Please leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording, and leave it publicly where you can, because then we can learn from each other, and we learn best when we're learning in community. Well, next time we'll go on to chapter 2 of the book, which is titled Guidelines for Hearing from God. That'll be for next week. Between now and then, I pray and hope that you have wonderful times of quiet with God, and in the way that's meaningful to you, that you will be able to hear from him. Take care, and God bless.